It's the Game of Roses. Welcome to the Game of Roses. This is the Game of Roses. Welcome to the Game of Roses.
I thought maybe you should read it.
Oh, it's... Peter and Hannah Ann, welcome to Australia's beautiful Gold Coast. Should you choose to forgo your individual rooms, please use this key to stay as a couple in the fantasy suite. Chris Harrison. Chris.
What? So what do you think?
Clearly, I'm in love with you. And I'm not going to turn down an opportunity to spend more time with you.
Welcome to Game of Roses. This is Pace Case.
This is Bachelor Clues. And it's Monday. So you know what that means. This is a very special Patreon-exclusive episode, and if you listen to the clip we played up front, that might have given you a clue about what this show is going to be all about. It's Fantasy Suites.
Fantasy Suites.
Of course, tonight, if you're listening to this on Monday, is going to be the Fantasy Suite playoff round of historic Season 25. So in preparation for that, we thought today we would go through the top 10 moments in Fantasy Suite history, going all the way back to the very first Fantasy Suites. So buckle up, because this is going to be an interesting ride.
So we just finished Hometowns. What are we looking at Hometowns? We're looking for glows. We're looking for blessings. We're looking for familial walls. What are we looking for in Fantasy Suites?
Are you asking me?
We're looking for love levels. Sometimes there's PTCs played during Fantasy Suites, as a couple of these moments are PTC related. We're looking for strong chemistry games. We're looking for ultimatums, several of which have occurred in the history of our beloved game. We're looking for even skeletons. That is when a person from a player's past or friend or family member or ex-boyfriend crashes the show and throws a wrench into the works.
And that's all done by producer's design. They will bring the skeletons in specifically to try to undermine relationships. And so the player's goal in that really is to avoid the undermining, to see if they can bob and weave around the skeleton and still get some kind of positive outcome from a fantasy suite, which is the second round of playoffs after Hometowns. So this is it. Once we're down to fantasy suites, there's three players. In one case, there were four, but this will produce our final two, our finalists. You're that close to tasting ring, and fantasy suites have produced tons of crowns. If you make it to that level of the game, it's sometimes a short journey to get the crown placed upon your head, and we'll be discussing some of those.
And it's also the only time that players are off camera with The Bachelor. So a lot of the play that we are evaluating your moose is based on what people are saying happened. We don't actually know.
And I don't know about that. Yes, I know that they say there's no cameras, there's no microphones when they go into the fantasy suite. I am absolutely not believing it. I think everything's recorded.
According to the TV show Unreal, it's all recorded and they just don't air it.
Yeah, I think that is definitely the case. Again, it's because of that contract. You're forfeiting your civil rights. They're recording everything. Even in the contract, it says we can record you 24 hours a day and use anything we want. So they can say, oh, yeah, the cameras are off. The mics are off. I bet that entire room has hidden cameras and microphones. Some of those early seasons, literally, they had hidden cameras.
I mean, season one, yeah, we have a night cam they don't appear to know about.
Well, speaking of season one, let's just jump into this shit. So these are the top 10 moments of all fantasy suites throughout the history of our beloved game. And when we say top 10 moments, it just means that they were important in some way in the evolution of the fantasy suite, in the evolution of the game as a whole. And these are just the most important things that have happened throughout the series of all fantasy suites. Are you ready, Pace Case?
I'm ready. Should you choose to listen to this episode and forgo your individual thoughts that you already had about fantasy suites, keep listening.
Okay.
Is that something?
Yeah. Sure. It's your own sacred word invocation. So we begin at number 10. And number 10 involves the very first season. That's season one, if you're counting. Now, in this season, the Fantasy Suite dates were not called Fantasy Suite dates. They were called Exotic Overnight Dates by the Dark Lord himself, of course. And they all took place in different cities, which is a far cry from what we see today, where they all take place, in some cases, at the same fucking resort. In some cases, the Fantasy Suite players are
the same made room.
To live together in a bedroom. But that wasn't the case in season one. Each of the three Fantasy Suites, which were Amanda Marsh, Trista Rain, and Shannon Oliver, they all took place in different cities. And we want to highlight up front Amanda Marsh, who had the first Fantasy Suite date in the history of fucking Fantasy Suites. This was the first time that we ever saw this. And try to keep in mind, you know, now we're all kind of inoculated against the shock of the premise of this show. But in 2002, when The Bachelor came out, just the very premise, one man is dating 30 women, was fucking insane. And everyone tuned in to be like, what in the fuck is this going to be about? Then they get to Fantasy Suites and it's like, wait a minute, he's going to have sex with three of them? It was beyond anything you had ever seen on television. And Amanda Marsh is stepping into this firestorm as the first player ever to engage in a Fantasy Suite.
You can tell in this very first season that the show is saying this is the premise, but they don't have the history of all the seasons before to back it up. And I think this is part of why each of the Fantasy Suites takes place in a different city. They're like, oh, it's not really the same. Like, we're treating each woman very specially. Amanda Marsh has the first quote-unquote exotic overnight date. It takes place in New York City. And she says she's never been to a city larger than Kansas City. She and Alex Michelle, in the day portion, go on a tour bus. They're covered in blankets. It's freezing. Alex Michelle starts this conversation out. He goes, so I have some things I want to get to the bottom of. I want to know about your boobs. A great start to the first ever Fantasy Suite date. Amanda explains that she was obsessed with Dolly Parton. She went from a C to a D. And Michelle does some body shaming stuff here, says, normally I'm against it. I want things to be natural all the time. Amanda says, I didn't want it to be a focal point. And Michelle says, they're probably top three or four. I mean, this whole conversation is disgusting.
But that was also a part of this entire season. There was a lot of boob talk, boob shots, ass shots. I mean, the show really made boobs a focal point for the first 5-6 seasons.
Yeah. And it even roared up again in this Women Tell All of season 25 with that close-up shot of Serena Pitt's ass.
But for all of that, Amanda Marsh was the first sex-positive player in the history of our game, and her sex positivity was on full display in this Fantasy Suite.
She talks all about how she's very into costuming ever since she was a child. She tells Alex Michelle she wants to see him in assless chaps. She loads love level 3. She then plays a PTC saying that her dad died when she was 11, had a heart attack at age 47, and that she was the strong one, felt like she had to help her mom. Alex Michelle says he felt like it brought them closer together. She's very brave. She also reveals that she had an annulment, not a divorce, and Alex Michelle is stoked. He says, I thought it was cool she's not a divorcee. As far as I'm concerned, she's never been married.
There was a lot of importance placed on that in this season and many of the early seasons of this, not having ever been married before, that this is a fresh person for me to take into the Fantasy Suites.
And Alex Michelle hands her the first Fantasy Suite card ever. She makes him read the card. It includes some of the same language that we see in the Fantasy Suite date cards today. You can stay as a couple in the fantasy suite.
And so they go into the fantasy suite. She's enthusiastic about it. She says, let's go. They wrap up their dinner and they walk into this hotel room. Now, it should be noted here in season one, the fantasy suite key is not the golden Harry Potter key. It's actually a plastic key card that opens an actual door. It's a functional hotel room key. They go into this hotel room and Alex closes the door behind them. Then we switch to this kind of night vision hidden camera that is supposedly in the fucking room. And we're getting this strange voyeuristic look at what is going on behind supposed closed doors. It appears that Amanda Marsh starts making out with him and getting into some kind of sexual activity without knowing they're being recorded. That's in the show. Yeah. I don't know if she knew about it or not and this was acting, but that at least is what's conveyed in this first fantasy suite.
Alex moves the camera, so presumably he knows the night cam is there.
And then they order ice cream from room service. But this isn't any ordinary ice cream. It's a package this hotel offers called Sex in the Sheets, which is a bunch of ice cream, whipped cream, chocolate sauce, and rubber sheets for the bed so that you can spread this all over each other while you're engaged in some kind of sexual activity. And we see a shot of basically Amanda Marsh naked with chocolate swipes on her face.
It's like a Polaroid printed out image. So he like took pictures of her naked with ice cream all covering her face.
The implication is not only were they smearing ice cream on each other on rubber sheets, but that they were doing an impromptu Polaroid photo shoot of the event. And those Polaroids are now featured in the document.
And Amanda says, thank the Lord that I was first. Hopefully he'll be reminiscing about our date. Which is very interesting here because the players don't even seem to know what order they are in the modern game.
But the order for the rest of these fantasy suite dates. We wanted to highlight that first fantasy suite date. Obviously, it's historic. It was sex positive. There was sex in the sheets. I mean, it's one to really be remembered. And it potentially could have set the tone for all fantasy suite dates. But it didn't. Because the very next fantasy suite that season was Shannon Oliver.
One of my favorite fantasy suite dates of all time.
Mine as well. This one took place in Lake Tahoe and had kind of a winter theme. They go snow skiing and Shannon Oliver plays the hardest fucking wall game, especially on a fantasy suite date, that has probably ever been played.
I love that they appear to have a theme for the fantasy suite dates. Cold Shannon gets this completely ice-themed date. They're in Lake Tahoe. Shannon's walls start, her walls are infinitesimal. She has walls for literally everything. She has walls for kissing. She has walls for love levels. She has walls for questions he's going to ask. She says, some of the questions you want to ask, I'm not going to answer. Some of the things you want to do are not going to happen.
That's how she opens a fantasy suite. And it might also be worth noting here that on her hometown in the round prior to this, which takes place, by the way, in Dallas, of course. Shannon Oliver's from Dallas, as is Alex Michelle, mm-hmm. as is Dark Lord Harrison, as is Emmanuel Acha,
Hellmouth.
As is Reality Steve, as is Bachelor Clues. Are they linked? You tell me. I just did. They are.
Yes.
On her hometown, upon entering the familial home, she bolts and goes in the backyard to play with the dog, leaving Alex Michelle alone to have this conversation with her parents. She's like so fucking over this show, doesn't give a shit about it, doesn't want to be involved in it. And that is now carrying over into the fantasy suites where she's like, I'm not going to answer your fucking questions. I'm not going to do what you want to do. Go fuck yourself. And there's a moment where he tries to lean over and kiss her and she fucking literally pushes him away. A denied kiss on a fucking fantasy suite date.
It's beautiful. She so had good. A stronger chemistry game with her familial dog than she does with Alex Michelle. But he keeps trying. They make out finally on a chairlift, and then they get to a hot tub. And Alex says, you want to go in? Shannon doesn't want to take her bathrobe off. And Alex Michelle says, it's ridiculous because her body is flawless. A fun implication here of fat shaming that if somebody doesn't have a flawless body, they should be worried about getting into a hot tub. Later, they eat a meal in front of a roaring fire. And Alex Michelle says, what's wrong with you? You look upset. And Shannon says, I'm not upset. Shannon is clearly upset.
Michelle whips out the fucking fantasy suite card. And she says, it would have been funny if you brought out Alex and Amanda or Alex and Tristis fantasy suite card. So she's like hip to this game. Even in season one, she understands that he's doing this same date with two other players and is not happy about it.
She says, I'm not dumb. All three of us will get the same envelope with the same proposition inside. Alex Michelle says, you seem mad. She goes, I'm not mad. Glaring. What I love about this is that she's acting like this is Alex Michelle trying to trick her. And the fantasy suite dates, they're not built up. This is probably the first time that she's hearing about this even being an idea. And she's like, I didn't sign up for this. I didn't even know about this. Anti-Sleucian protocol.
How could you know what you were signing up for at that time? Nobody knew. This was all brand new. The producers didn't even know what the fuck this was at this point.
And Alex Michelle forces this conversation off camera. They kick out the production crew, and we see the first producer on camera ever. And they're filming from outside. This is also our first vibe of them shooting without consent, because Alex and Shannon think there is no cameras.
And then Shannon is, of course, eliminated at the next rose ceremony for playing her wall game too much. And Alex tries to walk her to the breakup bench, which they did in season one. Every time somebody got kicked off at a rose ceremony in the later rounds, Alex Michelle would walk them out, sit on this bench, and they would have their breakup conversation. So he tries to walk her to that bench, and she's like, fuck you. She refuses to sit down. She gives him a firm handshake and then gets in the fucking car and leaves. It is astounding to watch this shit. Highly recommend to go back and look at it if you can. And then the third fantasy suite date of season one was Trista Rain, who became our first bachelorette. Of course, hers took place in Hawaii, and she delivers a version of a PVC, which is a personal virginity card, in which she tells Alex Michelle that she has never had an orgasm. This was in season one. You might think that that was later with a player named Raven, but no, it was here. Trista Rain. Raven is an echo of the first queen of our game.
Alex Michelle takes this as a challenge, but he doesn't end up being able to accomplish this goal as he ends up pulling an IFI himself and getting really sick on their date.
He's no Vial.
Get that in there. So Trista revealed she'd never had an orgasm during intercourse. That was what it was. And Trista also plays a very strong walls game. She refuses to up love levels, but she does it a little stronger than Shannon and makes it to the final two.
But that was it. That was the first of our list. Number 10 was all three first fantasy suite dates from season one, the fantasy suites that set the table for what is now 25 seasons. Worth of fantasy suite dates. And so now, moving on to number 9, we're going to bring it up to something a little more contemporary. Something from season 22 of The Bachelor, that of course was Ari Leyendyke's season. And this number 9 most important moment in the history of fantasy suites involves a player we all know very well named Becca Kufrin, who is now the co-host of Bachelor Happy Hour with Rachel Lindsay, who is one of the most celebrated bachelorettes in the history of the game. What happened on her fantasy suite with Ari Leyendyke is something that has never happened before until this moment. It was earth-shattering, and it changed the game forever. The number 9 most important event in fantasy suite history was... If you enjoyed the first 20 minutes of this, hearing us talk about our number 10 most important fantasy suite moment, then you're definitely going to enjoy number 9 all the way up to the very top, number 1. There's a little more than an hour left of this episode, and you can get that by going to patreon.com/gameofroses. You will also then get access to, I don't even know how many episodes we've done that are Patreon exclusives at this point, but deep dives into all-star players' rookie seasons, other top 10 lists like this one. We also do digging deeper into other podcasts that are doing interesting things, just like the one we released a week ago that was clickbait talking about us, where we inserted ourselves into the conversation as though we were there. Again, we must say we were not. But please join us in the bottom of the pit, where we are constantly updating it with new material for everyone to listen to. And there's also a growing community of people down in the pit with us, and we're having conversations with everybody kind of constantly about the current state of our beloved game, which is always in turmoil, it seems like, in these recent days. So please join us in the bottom of the pit.
It's the pit. You can get it in. Dig around in all this content. It's the pit. Come on, admit you wanna eat up all these tasty tidbits. It's the pit. There's room enough to fit everyone who wants to come in. It's the pit. You can get it in. And dig around in all this content. It's the pit. Come on, admit you wanna eat up all these tasty tidbits. It's the pit. There's room enough to fit everyone who wants to come in. It's the pit.